Okay. Cosmos or something.
I want to see how his...
Message from Sadapota. Read the alien identities and connect that to the cosmology. It's not written for nothing. It's all connected. That's a clue. How much we know, or you can build upon that, for instance, this documentary is kind of getting beyond any doubt. And those who want to spread doubts about it or cover it up are just making themselves more and more stupid and ridiculous. So grab on to that, which is, you know, just convincing to you and enough documented by enough very credible witnesses and photographic evidence and most absolutely probable lots of film and photographic material existing but being hidden away. Now, that's where these people are working, right? So just build upon whatever pillars of, you could say, empiric evidence are there. And connect that to the cosmology story. And how should that be done? Yes, in the alien identities. There is the theory being introduced that these so-called aliens may be coming or appearing or showing up, not from light years away of traveling with ships, but more by shifting in from other dimensions. That is there in the book, so you can build upon that too. And blame Mr. Thompson. But some are followers of him, believe in him, and take that seriously, so it becomes a foundation for the BI and so on. To accept as credible. Then we want to go further. from theory to practice. Whew. And how is that going to be done? There are experiments going on. And of course, at a large scale, since long ago, with the mediums and all of that, and as doubtful as many of those may be, and yes, there are cheaters there. There is also real successful research going on there. Where is that to be found? And how to distinguish the saints from the swindlers. Yeah. That remains to be seen. But you don't have to worry about that. Or you could find and you can interview some of those medium people. Very straightforward, you know, no nonsense. You might be bluffing, you might be telling the truth. But I'm here to find the truth. Not to find some medium guru to believe in or follow. So yeah, introducing into the cosmology the possibility that those that we call aliens or some of them are actually residing in, you could say, Bhuvarloka. And have devised technology because technology, as we kind of touched upon in the what was it? Yeah, and the simulation theory. Should and could and can and is, of course, far superior to ours, and not non-existent, but rather more existent, but not called technology in that way. Simply ways to do things. You know, what is technology today would have been considered magic 200 years ago. And you may have been burned at the stake as a witch longer ago if you would have used and showed and possessed such technology as we have today. And we learn from the old scriptures of India, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th or 12th canto, whatever, that the yogis, meaning those who raise to the higher levels, you have this Kundalini metaphor there of the yogi raising through the between the chakras to what we have learned so far to the higher worlds, being able to move between Ur-Bhuvar Svar with all that this means that we have spoken about so far. And this is called siddhis. Now, what siddhis are described as is that you have the ability, the art, for how to do things that you want to do. And as we have spoken about here, this is really the dynamics behind this world. Conscious living beings who have desires for experiences they want to have and things they want to do. This is what power is, what runs this cosmos, you could say. And so the art is given there, not only in the Srimad Bhagavatam but and the Puranas, but in practically all older original cultures of the shamans and so on, and the wizards and magicians and the witches, who are able to do things that others can't do. You can call that technology. So the siddhis of the yogis is technology. And the channeling of energy through copper lines, some circuit boards and so on. That we call technology today. Is simply another way of manipulating and controlling this energy that we find here to do what we want it to do. So if you would move now from this earthly platform to the Bhuvarloka or the Svargaloka, you know, the higher dimensions, higher worlds, which are vastly superior to, or at least superior to, this world. Well, if you would just step outside, behind this loka-loka, and locate yourself there, there are people living there. In that realm, which is really the realm that the near-death experience people and so on, many of them report having visited. And those reports are so many, and some of them by highly scientific and reliable people, that you can't just dismiss of it without making a fool out of yourself as little as you can with the so-called UFOs. And the two are connected. But now, just picture that you step outside of this world where you do technology with metals and electricity and so on. In other words, you use a certain method for accomplishing certain purposes. And here you are with a much higher knowledge, deeper knowledge of how to do that. And we are talking mental and pranic technology, if you want to use that word. And you can put that there in some novel whether it's seen as science fiction or not, that people in that realm, which is much more real, much more intelligent, much clearer, and with a much, much higher understanding of this nature than the primitive earthlings have, who basically just see matter and energy, as they call it, that they can manipulate basically by shaping matter in different forms. Now, in this other realm, you start in the other direction by looking at the energy from the subtler level, from the source level, and then seeing how you can, out of that energy, how you can make forms, even in the Burloka physical forms, how you can make them appear and disappear, and how you can even make vessels, ships, whatever you want to call it, bubbles, and bodies that you can enter into, and in that way travel into that Burloka again, to interact with people there. But that's just one way of doing it. This has been done forever. We have old stories of the devas visiting Earth there in the Vedic scriptures of India, and in other cultures as well. And again, some may think that they can just ignore or dismiss all of those as old, irrelevant mythology. But if you dare putting them in this perspective, seen out of from this cosmology, then even they could make sense. It could all be possible. Because the reason why such things are routinely dismissed and covered up and debunked by those people sitting on the scientific seats of the world today is that it completely and very radically, for them dangerously, challenge their very basic physicalist philosophy that is the very foundation of their lives and their science, their entire academic institutions. And you know, at that level, it's not anymore just about finding the truth wherever the truth is to be found. It's a matter of power institutions, of money, big things involved there. So if, and this is where it has gotten serious, if the truth has to go to serve the purpose, to uphold a great society, and the truth has to go, And we find that more and more now. And it's becoming so conspicuous and obvious for intelligent people how lies are being routinely employed to serve what some think of as the higher good purpose. Which purpose, when you look closer at it, often simply means to serve those who are rich and powerful, to maintain and grow their power and profit. And then we, the serfs, the cattle, the ordinary people down at grassroots level, we just follow because we believe in what they tell us. It's very easy. But now it's got more and more difficult, and we see this UFO and so on. Issue, as well as the mind consciousness being independent of the physical world, issues being so beyond any doubt documented and shown and proven with evidence en masse. And we now have media, which you should all use as long as it's here, free media, where independent journalists and scholars and scientists and philosophers and anyone can publish. And we find it more and more, and more this grows, the more and more the truth prevails and defeats the illusions and the ignorance and the lies. You don't do that by war, fighting the bad guys. In fact, when you find yourself somewhere where such a war is going on, and you are told to unhesitantly and faithfully line up against that evil enemy, you should suspect that things are not the way they should be. So today, the independent media is the hope for humanity, and the brave, heroic, actual truth-sayers and actually knowledgeable people going out there, speaking for themselves and letting that knowledge and information also speak for itself, and all of us making up our minds. And the more this is going on, the harder it will be to lie and cheat and spread illusions. Even if you're a government who's in control of all the mainstream media, which you know you can use to make people believe in anything. And yes, truth may prevail. So back to topic. Even if, for now, this to you sounds more like, and that's okay, something from a science fiction book. In fact, a book that is already being written of people in the other world working hard, or blissfully, actually, because it's a nice work. To create ways to connect with people in the earthly realm of Burloka. And even visiting it. Well, we have those visitors here. There's no doubt about it anymore. They have been spotted by pilots and top military personnel, verified by, you know, high intelligence officers. And we now find it on this Netflix series, for instance. It's coming out more and more and more. And then again, the government official, some big man with a uniform with lots of medals on it, steps up there. The official speakers corner of the US government and tells the world that no, nothing like that exists. Nothing. It's not there. And then people, and again, this is a scary thing, that if it is so, that the general public will then say it doesn't exist. Why doesn't it? How do you know that it doesn't? Because that man said so. The experts, he looked like an expert. They say so, so it doesn't exist. It's very, very easy today. You know, when you have programmed the mind in a certain way, you have primed it for years and years, you don't need much anymore to convince a person about something. You just need to tell them that this is how it is. And they will believe you because they trust you. And to make people trust you to that extent, and then tell them lies that suits your idea of when a lie is the best thing to tell, that is probably the worst, most unethical behavior one could think of. Because because it actually establishes a totalitarian situation. It actually creates that society which you read about in 1984. And if you don't catch that connection, then read the book again and you will. But anyway, back to topic again. Yes. Those who follow this UFO topic, they notice that some patterns always reappear. Aliens, well, first of all, vessels, vehicles, phenomena there in the air and underwater that definitely seem to be intelligently manifest are there, profusely documented. Them moving between air and water, sky and water, ocean, are also well documented. Then there are cases of sampling, we could say. People being abducted into alien ships and samples being taken from them, probes being injected into the, inserted into their bodies, and implants injected. Not sounding very nice. And cattle being mutilated. Especially, and this may be worth noticing, the sensory organs being removed. If you look at the documentary from Netflix, you see that case after case, bulls lying on the ground, the mouths, tongues, eyes, ears, nose, and genitals having been removed with surgical precision. Apparently with some kind of laser-like technology, because the tissue has been burnt where the cut has happened. And all blood gone. Again, gory things, but we do the same thing, the humans, with cattle. In labs, with animals. So So we could just look at the reasons we do such things and conclude or suspect that maybe this is something similar. Why? But one thing could be in our our consciousness-centered cosmology point of view, to study how the senses are constructed in this world, the sense organs, thus being able to build such, construct such bodies that you can enter into this world through, by entering those bodies. Because that is what a physical body and a brain is, and the senses. It's basically senses, knowledge acquiring, and activity senses, acting senses, with the brain at the center of them, using a certain technology for making that sensuous image, information, interfaced with the mind, the subtler burloka, buvarloka level, where these people are situated. Now those people who are there and are working for this, to enter into the earthly realm through bodies made of earthly matter forms, may be with different motives, and they may come from different realms themselves. Again, we have there in the Bhagavatam descriptions of the higher sattvic svarga realms, and those of the lower, the talas, the patala realms, which are both very advanced, but where one is towards the divine, and another one is towards the atheistic or the desire to control the universe yourself. So this old dichotomy we have between the devas and the asuras, that's what we're talking about. So some who enter here or communicate with us here on Earth, come from the upper, some come from the lower levels there. And the ways they treat us living here may show, give a clue to where they come from. just as people here on earth. Some are cold-hearted, having no compassion, no feelings for others, experimenting in labs with animals in terrible ways, cutting their brains up, injecting chemicals into their bodies to see what happens, and so on. And even experimenting with other humans that they call more primitive or not even fully human. We find this here. And it is that mentality which then obviously evidently exists in the minds of some who live here, can also exist in the minds of, and will of course exist, continue existing in the minds of such people when they leave this world, this earth. So there are places for them to live, and that's what we call the Patala. So when they want to study how to influence this world, how to enter here by vehicles or whatever, or connect mentally, control or communicate with people here, they will do it with their motives, their objectives, their goals, their purposes. You know, some of us, as we see here, and we see it in our storytelling, are sustaining our lives and enjoying our lives in what we call sattvic ways. By causing as little harm as possible, living in harmony with nature. Even as we find in this Puranic tradition, the Indian tradition often, even when taking the life of a vegetable, then begging pardon and offering it to God. Which is a very nice practice because if you are being offered to God, your body, after someone kills you, that is good for you. Well, that's the idea behind these sacrifices. They even had animal sacrifices and still have probably in India, for instance. But again, you can do this all the sattvic way or more tamasic way, selfish, me, power, me hungry, me enjoy. Me more power, more food, more money, more this, more enjoy, then me happy. And you know, they are what we call parasites or vampires. I read about vampires beyond that superficial Hollywood level, where they say that there are vampires, but it's not necessarily that they drink blood, but they steal prana, chi, life energy from others. which you can do without biting them in the neck and drink their blood. But maybe that too, because blood contains that life energy. You know, that's biology. And you eat, there's energy coming into your body, and that energy goes through the blood. Which becomes like the fuel for the cells, or carries the fuel, the energy. So again, seen from that higher level of prana and manasa and so on, we understand that that's where the energy is, in the prana and the chi. The muscles and all of those tissues are in themselves just a passive structure, a machine. And the strength coming through those muscles comes from that energy, the prana, the chi. So, well, again, we can go into our science fiction story and tell something about, you know, these poor cows and bulls being used for sampling and experimenting and studying, which is generally used for some purpose that benefits the user. And then, incidentally, also sucking out all the blood. And there's about 50 liters of blood in a cow or a bull, I heard. It's quite something. And that contains this life energy in prana. If you can see it that way. Again, now we're writing the novel here. So we take our liberties of being a little imaginative, but not very much. So yes, you got the mosquitoes sucking our blood. Why? Well, that's the nectar, you know. Blood is sweeter than money, or what is it they say? But then there are others. Again, back to the UFO sightings and all that, and the contacts, because that's another field which is being reported so frequently and so has been so much so that it's also hard to just ignore and deny. Well, if you accept that these vessels, vehicles, whatever they are appearing in our sky and in our water. And if you accept that some do very advanced surgical operations on cattle, often connected with a big burnt, or in any case, marked round area on a grass field nearby or something, then why should we have a difficulty accepting that there are direct interactions between people, humans, and such non-human beings, as they're called, extraterrestrials. Both positive and negative ones. But then the next one, next field here that we find again repeated over and over, and that's what I wanted to get to before I got more extensively into this, is that of these extraterrestrials appearing, having appeared repeatedly over and around, for instance, nuclear bases, you know, the silos where the missiles are, and the, you know, there are places where there are buildings, often highly, of course, protected underground, where all those missiles and their control systems and control rooms and all that are located. And then, and we are talking now about reports from officials, military officials working in such places, having seen such UFOs hovering above them, above those silos, above those compounds, and all of a sudden their system stops functioning. In other words, hacking into those systems. Now, you may say, well, how would they be able to do that? Well, in our scenario, the people who built those systems, who created those codes that control them, maybe even who created the passwords, may now be, as we call, dead. In other words, situated in that other world of Búvarloka, just next to this world, may be very concerned that, oops, we've got to do something. And they have then they may have devised a technology whereby you can connect from that realm into the electronic realm of those circuit boards and so on, which controls these missiles and things. Again, think Hollywood science fiction movie if you like, but if this whole cosmology, and think about that, this book you have read, or this YouTube series that you're looking at, if you look back, and that's why I dare to go a little science fiction-ish looking, but if you go back and you look at and can accept this entire cosmology that we are painting here for you to try out and evaluate, if you accept that as true, as reality, then this would be, what I'm describing now would be not only plausible, but the most logical situation today. Because there are those, and this is the report we hear from all over when it comes to the interaction between the extraterrestrials and such military bases or airports, whatever. And the direct communication to humans that, you know, we want you to stop that nuclear madness. You're going too far. You have become so stupid, you humans. So much controlled by greed and anger and whatever. Primitive. Forces there within you that you may just destroy your entire civilization. And we want to stop that. We want to protect you, because protect you from yourselves. This is the message that we also hear being echoed in these UFO documentaries and so on. And there are a few of those now that are very well made, and that you can't just, without making a fool out of yourself, dismiss by joking it away as some crackpot foil hat stuff. It's just beyond that. And that's where we are now. So I'm just putting this on the table as, I say, a natural ramification of this whole cosmology. And I want to put more examples here of other otherwise generally dismissed as supernatural nonsense. As how it is explained naturally, logically, and very sensibly. When seen with this cosmological outlook. So let's go on with that. And we will continue with whatever.